For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been thinking a lot recently about the ways that we human beings, not we St. John's, spend our time. All of the productive and unproductive, the useful and the useless things that we do during our days. And I've come to a conclusion, which is this. There is nothing in the world that's more holy than a good waste of time. To be clear, before you all pull out your phones and start scrolling through the social media of your choice, I said a good waste of time. Not every waste of time is good. Maybe it's better actually to put it the other way around and to say this. The most holy moments in this life almost always look, when they're judged from the outside by some modern standard of efficiency or productivity, like a complete and total waste of time. These seemingly wasted seconds and minutes and hours take a variety of different forms. Sometimes they're the 5 minutes you spend waiting for a cup of tea or coffee to brew before you bring it to a friend or a spouse. Sometimes they're the afternoon of work that you canceled so you could go see a mediocre school play, or the evening you took off from your own workout to watch a series of small children strike out even though they were playing t-ball. Sometimes it means spending 45 minutes on the phone listening to an old friend when there are 10 other things you need to do that day. Sometimes it means sitting by the bedside of someone whom you love who does not know you're there for one reason or another and who will never see you again. Sometimes it means sitting in silence, in meditation, or in prayer and simply doing nothing in the presence of God as the seconds tick by. In any of these situations, your time is useless in a sense. You achieve nothing, you make nothing, you do nothing. And yet, anyone in this room, I'm sure, would agree with me that these are some of the most important and holy things that you can do. The most holy moments in life often seem like a waste of time. I want to step back for a moment and set the scene for this gospel reading, this famous passage, the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. We'll spend this entire year in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is how Jesus chooses to begin. We've had the stories of Christmas, of Jesus as a 12-year-old sitting in the temple, of Jesus beginning his ministry by calling the disciples, and now his real ministry is beginning. It's time to set the stage, to set the tone for what he's going to do. And the people are expecting some kind of social movement or religious movement. He is maybe the Messiah who's come to restore the kingdom. He's maybe a great religious reformer come to transform the people's faith and practices and change the world. And when it comes time for him to give his first speech, his great Sermon on the Mount, and he lays out his agenda, it goes like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful and the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers and those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Jesus is followed at this moment by a large crowd of people from the whole region who have come to him because they are sick or troubled and they're looking for healing. And Jesus invites his disciples to hear his program, to hear what he is there to do. He invites these people who are looking for the kingdom of heaven to arrive, who are waiting for a Messiah who will throw out the Roman Empire. And he says to them, "You're looking for the kingdom of heaven? Here it is. In this crowd, in all these people who need healing and hope." If what they want is a Messiah's Messiah, a man's man, a strong, tough guy who's going to throw out the Romans, this ain't it. they're going to be disappointed. If what they want is an army who will throw out the occupiers and make their nation and their people great, this isn't going to work. If what they want is health and wealth and esteem, then Jesus has very little to offer them. You can already tell up front at the very beginning of his ministry that what he's promising is not success or greatness or victory. You can tell that by any reasonable measure of success, this guy is setting himself up to fail, and to fail hard. The idea that a movement of the poor and the meek and the mourning, the merciful peacemakers who are pure in heart, is going to do anything meaningful to change the world seems ridiculous. You might even call it foolish. And indeed, it is foolish. And it's always been foolish. And we've always known that it's foolish from the earliest days of the church. For the message about the cross, as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, that foolishness is the power of God. The world in which these Corinthians lived was not so different from our own. They'd all grown up valuing the one who is wise, the scribe, the debater of this age. In other words, the person who succeeded, was excellent in the wisdom of the world, in the eyes of all the measurements of their culture. But Paul's proclamation was not wise. It was foolish. It was that the Messiah had come, and he hadn't won an earthly victory. He hadn't thrown out the Romans. He had failed to start a movement or an uprising, and he had been executed on the cross. And that this failure had been his victory. Paul's message of the cross is a foolish one. It's an incredible one. But as he says, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And in you, my beloved parishioners, Paul writes to the Corinthians, in what may be the ultimate backhanded compliment, in you who are not, on average, wise, powerful, or of noble birth, God chose what is foolish in the world, you, my friends, to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world, dear Corinthians, to shame the strong. God has taken a hard look at the things that we human beings strive for, all our wealth and prestige and the eternal appearance of youth. And God has chosen instead to bless us in the things we fear, our poverty and persecution and pain. God has considered the ways that we spend our time, the ones that are productive and valuable in the eyes of the world, the ones that are unproductive, useless, a waste. And God has chosen to rank them in a very different way. God has chosen the sick and the tired and the poor, the weak and the mourning and the meek, the persecuted and the peaceful and the pure in heart, the children of God and all those who don't contribute to society in a measurable way. And God has chosen to bless us in all our suffering and all our weakness, to be alongside us in it all, and to bless us in our presence with those who are suffering. God has chosen to bless the time we waste on holy things and declared it to be the most important time of all. God has chosen to bless us not when we succeed and achieve and excel, but when we sit and watch and wait, and most especially when we sit with those who are old or young or sick, because the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is theirs, and the kingdom of heaven is there. So if you ever feel, as I sometimes do, that you don't have enough hours in the day to do everything you need, or if you sometimes feel, as I suspect some of you do, that you have far too many hours in the day with nothing to fill them, I wonder whether you might ask yourself instead whether what you're doing is a waste of time in a good way or a bad way, whether the things you're doing are bringing you closer to that kingdom of heaven, that life of God with the meek and the pure in heart, or whether drawing you away from them. For God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.